Hello and welcome to our podcast called Risking Failure. I'm Mark Dobson. You're about to hear Mick Dunn tune in, and the topic was going to be something else. But last week, the topic was juggling loads. And I'd had a miserable week, and I'd had to recover from that. And in it, Mick was giving me all sorts of random advice and logic. And then when we touched base today, I said, how's your week, Mick? And Mick said, I had a week like your one. I said, what, overwhelmed? He goes, yep, I'm overwhelmed. And I said, gee, Mick, because last week you knew the way through it. And I was being honest. And then Mick has now stumbled his way through a week of overload and overwhelm. How are you, Mick?
Not bad, Dobbo. A little overwhelmed. But
but what happened? Because I remember saying I was overloaded, and I said, you know, I learned, you know, you've got to step back or you've got to let go. Like, I used the pool example, and I said, you said, well, surely you just know that you've got to step back and think about it. And I was like, yeah, but you needed a little victory. And you weren't arguing with me, but what was happening when someone's not overloaded, they've got idealistic advice.
Are you saying I was idealistic? Do you think I had my head in the clouds last week?
Yeah, I didn't feel I was putting my heart out there, and I was like, this is what it was like. And people giving me advice, like, I was
what
like,
what the hell did you expect me to say? Like, what didn't I say, or what did I say that you thought was not helpful to you?
I didn't think it was sincere.
Really?
Not that you were lying, but okay, so one of the things I talked about last week was saying that when I was overwhelmed, I just kept on soldiering on. Eventually, I had a little victory that I wasn't expecting. I solved one thing and I felt good, and then I got it organized. And the classic advice is when you're feeling overwhelmed, take some time out, you know, look at the whole thing. And I was saying, no, but people don't do that. When they're feeling overwhelmed, they might think that they go, yeah, I'll take some time out. But what they really do is they just keep soldiering on until they get to a point of either a little success or absolute monumental failure. I was saying that at that point, we don't actually make a logical, rational decision, that it goes out the window, that we're just in it. And if someone says, hey, just pause and think. For example, I said when I had the pool situation, I was trying to fix the pool pump. If you're tuning in late, everybody, I'd had a terrible week. And then I got to the house and then the pool pump wasn't working. It was like bloody soup. I was like, damn it, I've got to fix this pool thing. I didn't want to. Logic would have said, now just step back, think it through. But I didn't step back and think it through. I kept going. I had a little win. I got the pool pump fixed. And then I had the mood to fix everything. And I was saying that classic advice is to step back, but I don't think when you're overwhelmed, you really do step back. I don't think that's the solution to step back, because if I had to step back at that point, we would have come up with a plan that didn't include fixing the pool pump because it wouldn't look like a priority. Yet that was the thing that actually made me feel awesome.
I may have to go back to the episode and re-listen, but I don't recall telling you that I think you should have stepped back. But I do think conventional wisdom says focus on one thing, get that task completed, and if you can, try to have it be something that feels rewarding and is, well, we can go on to that, what it should be, but because I can talk a little bit about how I got out of a funk this week and whether I'm still in it or not. But I feel like that was the thing for me is if there was a conclusion for me, like I still feel like that's it. It's like, that's what I do when I'm in, you know, overwhelm. And so a couple of things were going on for me this week. There's no like event. It was just, actually there was, I got up Monday morning and had to go about 3.5 hours away from me to go replace a very simple component on one of our systems. Everything went exactly as planned, but there was something else, and wouldn't you believe it was a pump.
You should have called me.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, I could not get the pump to run. So I had to bring in the expert, my good mate Charlie, who is my partner in crime, and I said, this is too big of a job for me, but what was happening was just a big solar hot water system, a massive facility. And when these solar hot water systems are not operating and the sun comes up, everything starts steaming and going kind of nuts. And you have a very short window to try to do any corrective stuff. And after that, it's like game over. Just come back tomorrow when things have settled down. So that blew 2 days out of my week. So that was the overwhelming feeling, was I didn't actually feel like I had a huge list of stuff I needed to get, but it was just the feeling of taking 2 days completely out of my week that I wasn't planning on removing. And by the time I hit Wednesday, I felt anxious that I had a lot of catching up to do. And what I discovered by the end of today, it was like everything's been under control. Everything's okay. Like, there's really no, there wasn't really any catastrophic to-do stuff that was piling up. It just felt that way. So it hasn't been like a hugely stressful week, but what I found myself reflecting on earlier this morning, I was like, you know, if I look back at, I could look at a week like this week and go, I'm overwhelmed, but there's no real scale to that. Like, this week could just move on and I could conclude that it's the most stressful, most overwhelming week I've ever had, right? And it's certainly not that. But if I did, 3 weeks from now, I'm not going to remember that week and I'm not going to remember the degree of stress or overwhelm, you know?
Mm. See, I think it comes down to a couple of fundamental beliefs. This is what I was saying last week, and it'd be interesting to listen to it back, actually, because you're a wise soul. So, but I felt like last week's conversation, I made myself a little bit vulnerable by saying I didn't handle this well. And I feel like what accidentally happened, and I can do to you, or everyone does it to each other, we come in as if we know the answers a little bit. And it just, and maybe it's just because I don't like being vulnerable. So then I felt, you know, that you were going, oh, just do this and this and this. And I was like, yeah, but I don't know if that's the truth. And what I was saying, and I'll continue to say this week, is that I really think the trick to overwhelm is the ability to let go. Because I was thinking, like, use your language, you know, you're needing to catch up. And I had the same feeling, like, oh, all these things need to get done and not getting them done. And I know in my own life that I don't believe that anything needs to get done, but sometimes you get sucked into it accidentally. And I think when we have a plan too of how things will go, we create a lot of opportunity for stress. Like, a really well thought through plan actually can also be a lot of opportunity for stress, because it won't, if it doesn't go to plan, then we think we got it wrong. But life just unfolds. As you said, just, it was actually under control. You didn't lose anything. You don't lose 2 days. You actually live 2 days.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's a hard point to get to, but I feel like recently I've been looking at that a little bit more, trying to find that, like trying to get to that point when I'm in overwhelm. So it was just an interesting follow-up to our last conversation.
It was. I love it.
So last time you and I were having our discussion, we got wind of a neighbor that had suffered a health issue. So we're talking about the leaves, right? Me breaking up leaves, and that's just one of those feelings on the home side that feels like overwhelming, because you're already juggling a lot of work and then you come home and like, oh man, I got to do this for, you know, full day.
And just to bring people up to speed, you said that you need to do the leaves, and I said you don't need to do the leaves, you could let go of that. And you said, but the consequence was that it becomes a mess with the snow, and then there's a consequence, and then the sum of the grass isn't as good, and there's holes in the ground. And I said, but so you value the grass, but if you could let go of the grass, then you wouldn't have to worry about the leaves and you'd feel differently. And we were saying that basically it came down to letting go, and you saying, yeah, but I choose to have my garden like that, so therefore I feel a pressure. And I said, well, then let's enjoy it. So that's what the story that we had. And then obviously, so continue that in case anybody came in late. Go on. Because I haven't heard this either, so I'm on the edge of my seat.
So this gentleman is an, I guess, elderly gentleman, and he just is more of a vacation type across the road and comes in every weekend and rakes the leaves. And just pops in for an hour and just takes care of the little cottage sort of things and pulls back out of town. So this weekend, we just sort of made the decision that it was probably appropriate for us to just rake his leaves for him. I was a little bit reluctant to bring this up because it feels a little too lofty and whatever. And it's not supposed to be a self-indulgent thing, but I'm raking leaves, right? And I just kind of look at my own lawn, which has a boatload of leaves on it. And I'm like 3/4 of the way through raking this pile of leaves in the neighbor's property. I'm thinking, you know, I do not feel an ounce of overwhelm in that situation. Right. And I was like, it's service perhaps.
Wow.
Makes a difference.
So true, isn't it?
Yeah. I still have to do the leaves at home and all of that. And yeah, I just thought it was a different feeling, obviously, doing the leaves compared to last weekend.
We did a few early podcasts to do a bit of a test run to see if we could pull this stuff off. And I'm not sure if it was in those or ones we've released. But I was saying that if you want to feel good, if you want to feel rich, you don't need 50 cents. If you just give 50 cents to a little kid and they feel rich, then you get the feeling. If you want to feel happy, you don't need to get a great gift as a present from somebody. You need to give somebody a great gift, and they're so happy that you feel happy. So it's actually the mood that you can give someone else. So when you gave him that feeling of the opposite of overwhelm, which was relief and it was done, you gave him that feeling, you actually felt it as well. That's what I think's going on.
Yeah, they don't even know. So it's not like, you know, they're not here often enough to know. We just sort of did it because, like, well, eventually they're going to have to come deal with this. So it wasn't like the kind of thing that's like probably would ever go noticed, but that didn't matter.
It was your intent. You embodied the intent.
Yeah. So I started wondering, well, you know, maybe it's a little too ambitious to say that, you know, when you're overwhelmed, maybe the thing to do is go give. I mean,
well, I'll tell you what, when I fixed that pool pump last week, I wasn't fixing it for me. I would have put that on the back burner. I was fixing it because I knew there were some people coming down to the house and they were going to help paint, but particularly the co-owner of the house. She was passionate about using that pool on a hot day. And I just knew that if she didn't enjoy the house, then she was just going to break her spirit. So I did that. I was ferocious about fixing that pool pump for her, if I look back. And because I knew that she would be happy when she came in. And when she came in and the pool was clean, she was happy and I felt happy. And I put all other tasks to the side. So that's when I think this overwhelm thing, when we get that feeling of we've got to catch up, we're losing time, we've got too much to do, all those things are an indication that we're caught up in ourselves. And really, both you and I found a way through overwhelm accidentally by helping somebody else. So that's not classic advice. But if we're honest, that's what happened, or something like that has happened to you.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. But I don't know how I would look for that. Like, you know, during my week, for example, in my work, I can't really identify a point where I've just changed that and used that. You know, you just overcome that sense of overwhelm. And I think it's just one of those peak and trough type things. And you go up and down and all of that. But
I think in business, the way it plays out is that you add value to a client. Years ago, I went into a meeting. I was just a kid and I met some – he's a big player. I didn't realize how big a player he was, but – and I had a meeting with him. He was just probably being polite. And he had
a big player of what?
Oh, just in business. Yeah, he was quite senior in a company that was probably doing $100 million a year or something and with some big influence. Anyway, he had one of those keys that's big and chunky at one end, you know, that's got the little battery in it and never fitted on his key rings properly, would always just stick out. And I had on my keys a little piece of leather that I'd just tied myself. And it was cool, but it meant that the key dangled a little bit off the key ring because I had a similar sort of key. And he saw it and he said, oh, that's great. And he said, where'd you get that from? I said, oh, I just made it myself. And he's like, oh, that's so good. That makes so much sense. So I went home that night and rather than writing an email or doing any business stuff and proposals, I just made one of those, whacked it in an envelope and sent it to him. Now, I wasn't trying to be a hero. I got a call from him immediately when he received it. Immediately. And he was just wrapped. And my standing with him went through the roof. And it wasn't any proposal. It was a service. And it was a service in an area that made his life better. And I was running a workshop for a company this week. They're in an industry where it's plausible that if one of their staff members leaves the company, they could actually take the client with them. It's a unique industry which I don't need to go into, but just trust me on that basic structure. And they were saying, well, how do we stop that happening? And I said, you as the senior executive or the senior salesperson or manager need to have a phenomenal relationship with that customer so that you will always be more important than the person that's servicing the customer. And they're like, how do you do that? And I said, well, it's easy. You just got to find out what do they lose sleep over? What are they worried about? And it's got nothing to do with business, or it could have a lot to do with business. But add value there. Care about that.
Yeah, well, even better than that, with the employee as well. I mean, you know.
What, you care about the employee as well, you mean?
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to work with some people that really care in that way. And even though the organization doesn't get run perfectly, the relationship is strong. And so you move on. The last thing you're going to do is think about trying to do something that would result in a bad outcome for a previous employer, you know, when you've been treated well like that.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I guess the heart of it is, though, that I think the way to navigate life, and overwhelm was one aspect of it, and when I say this, I'm not trying to be on my high horse saying this is the way. I have desperately been searching my whole life and continue to find more and more joy in life, to find the harmony, find the good bits to go, how am I meant to live this? How is this to be done? How can I do this? Not right, but it's just like playing a sport. How do I do this sport so that it's fun, it's enjoyable, and we all benefit? And one of the things that I'm really believing is that there's nothing that needs to be done. There is just the understanding of the people around you and helping them whenever possible. And that has consistently led me to bigger and bigger opportunities. When I look back, I didn't recognize it, but you start to see that there's times when you put a huge amount of effort into raking your own leaves and you're miserable. And there's other times you put a similar amount of effort into raking someone else's leaves with no logic or rationale and you feel better. And someone goes, oh, but now your own lawn's stuffed. But when you go to your own lawn, you either get in perspective or you have a sense of jovialness about it. You're in the right mood to do it. And I really believe the way out of overwhelm is to actually help someone else, which is not classic advice.
I think absolutely. I also think, though, that something like the example of the leaves and no doubt the pool pump for you, it's not about the leaves or the pool pump. And it's not like I'm miserable when I'm doing the leaves. I quite enjoy it. It's full and it's beautiful and all of these nice things. But it's more about that whole straw that breaks the camel's back. I think when you're in that moment of overwhelm, you realize you've been juggling a lot and then you slap one more thing on top of it and you go, oh, okay, this is too much.
I actually think that when we have that straw that breaks the camel's back, it's because we think we're the camel and we think that there's something to carry and there's something that needs to be done. And like you said before, if you fail or you succeed, you don't really remember that week. You know, I think a few people have got things in their life, they go, I wish I had made a different decision at this point. But we didn't, and you don't. And your life just continues on and it is what it is. And I think that really it comes down to our capacity to let go. And I'm not saying that you needed to do that or I needed to. I'm saying this is the wisdom that I've learned. I think what I want to do next time I feel that little overwhelmed is realize that if I'm feeling overwhelmed, it's really what I've done is I've built a list of activities that I think need to get done. And I'm not sure what the word need is suggesting. Need so that what? So that I'm productive, so that I'm a good person, so that I please people. I think we get lost as soon as we feel like there's things that we need to do.
Your list of things, right? Last time we talked, when you think back on those, are those mostly tied to pleasing other people or satisfying a need that somebody else has?
Yeah, but they were theorized needs. They were theorized. If I had have called that person and said, hey, I'm really stressed about getting this done on time. Is this something that's really important to you or what's your take on it? I know that they would have just, especially in hindsight, I know they would have just gone, no, I'm not really worried about that. I'm just doing this and this and this week. I don't even worry about it. But I didn't do that. See, this is where we've talked about authentic and perceived success before. Perceived success is when we get busy. And busy, that doesn't mean we're, it's separate to activity. There's times when you're actively involved in creating something that's really real, like you're doing it. So, for example, for a book, oh, there's times I'm actually writing the book, and that's activity. There's other times when I'm busy, and when I'm busy, I'm doing all the things around writing the book, but the book's not getting written. And I think that in that week, I've fallen into busy in that I felt like I should be writing the book, but I was like, oh, I need to do this and this. Oh, yeah, I'll tell them, oh, yeah, I'm going to allocate some time for that. Yeah, yeah. And I got caught up in busy, and I realized that the busy was actually, if I was really honest, was that the only reason I felt busy was that I felt like I should be writing the book for other people. I actually didn't really want to, but I thought people were waiting on a particular text from me. As it turns out, they weren't waiting on it. So I feel that I got caught up in busy, and it was only subtle. I just didn't want to let the people down who were waiting on me. It turns out they weren't waiting on me. But I think overwhelm is the experience of feeling like there's some place you need to be or something you need to have done. And I really think the greatest successes in life just flow. Like I know when I spend time with the girl I'm seeing, or I really care about a lot, like when we hang out, we don't have an agenda. We just go, yeah, we're going to go for breakfast and stuff. But really the best times is when we just hang out. And you never know when that juicy bit's going to happen. I would even think that you probably didn't even plan to rake those leaves for that guy.
No.
Did it happen? Like, what, was a half hour? Liz just said, oh, we should chat about, you know, maybe we should do it for him. What happened?
It was immediately after our podcast.
So you finished the podcast. But were you finished the podcast at 11 o'clock at night or something?
No. We didn't go break the leaves. It was just, we discussed what's coming up on the weekend. And
who said it? Did Liz say it? You said it?
Yeah, no, she did.
See, isn't that the great gift?
And I didn't even make a link. It was not until I was raking the leaves. I was like 3/4 of the way done and I stopped and I was like, wait a minute.
Wow.
This is just too funny. I didn't even click that it was somewhat related to what we were talking about the other week. And that's when I stopped and thought about it. So.
That's beautiful, mate. That's beautiful. And isn't that, I was about to say, the great gift of a trusted friend. But it's a trusted friend who's, when we pause, you know, like you guys would have been just chilling out late at night and you weren't trying to do anything that time. You're just being, you didn't have any agenda, you know, saying we need to go to sleep now. We need to do this now. We need to have a cup of tea. you were just being, you just both switched off. And when we just switch off, all these enlightened moments pop into our head. And when we're busy, we can't hear them. And it's like you've had five radios on during the day. And in the night, you turn all the radios off and now there's silence and you can hear each other. And I'm a big one for encouraging people. Well, not encouraging, they can do whatever they want, but things that's worked for me, and I go, maybe it works for you. I think there's great merit in going away from your life for a weekend every 2 or 3 months, or more if you can, because as soon as I step out of my life, I can see what I need to do. So I had a meeting this morning, which is the same one I have every Friday morning. In it, I made some notes, and it was just a really refreshing meeting because I wasn't worried about it. I don't know, I was just there. And as the guys were talking, I made some notes, and I came back and I did 2 or 3 really strategic things as soon as I got home. And I discovered these things were available to me all the time. They'd always been sitting in front of me. I just hadn't acted on them. I did those. And when I did those, I ended up with an hour before I was going to come and speak to you. And it was the best hour because I just went and got a cup of coffee and I chilled out and I potted around the place and I feel awesome. And it was because I paused, I was out of it. And then when I was paused, I could make decisions about, I didn't even make decisions, Mick. These ideas just popped into my head. I was like, oh, I probably could do that, that, and that. And when I did, I already have got the rewards that I wanted from those things.
Correct me if I'm wrong. It doesn't sound like one of those things you're doing. You're not removing yourself from what we were talking about as overwhelm. You're just scheduling in or whatever, just saying, well, just want to provide a little relief and some space for energy to go to.
So if we think about a busy space as literally being like 5 or 6 radios, all on different stations, your desk is in the middle of those 5 radios. Sometimes just to hear yourself think, if you get up and receive a phone call, you instinctively walk out of that space to where you can hear that person on the phone. And I think our life is like 5 or 6 radios all around us with all these things. We go, yep, that's a good station. Yes, that's a good idea. I should do that. Yes, this is a good idea. Yep, I'm doing that one. Yep, oh yeah, I am listening over here. But then when we go on a holiday or we step out of that world, we can just be. And then someone goes, oh, what are you going to do? And you go, I think, and then you come back and go, oh, and you walk back in and you turn one radio down. And you go, I don't need to listen to that radio right now. I'm just going to listen to these ones. I'm just going to work on this one. You know, I subtly did it this morning accidentally. And then there's other times when I would deliberately do it and go away for a while. But I don't go away to go, I will think and ponder. I really just go away just as a habit, as a lifestyle, as a way of being. And then it seems to reward me. Don't know how people do that thing where they go away once a year for 3 or 4 weeks. That's just not, that wouldn't do it for me, but it works for them, I guess. So did you end up raking your own leaves?
A little bit, just the worst part.
Well, here's how about this. I got a call from the pool guy this week who turned up to clean the pool and do what he's got to do. And he said, mate, he goes, I've checked out your pool pump. He goes, it's stuffed. I was like, yeah, I know. He goes, it just doesn't draw water properly. You just got to keep putting water in it so the suction stays there. I was like, I know. I said, I spent the weekend fixing it. And he goes, that's going to cost you $380 to fix it. I was like, what I find with these guys, it's $380. And then you get the invoice and they've added on some tax and they've added on this extra chemical they didn't tell you about. And I was like, is it $380 or is it something else? And he comes back and goes, no, it's $380. That's all you'll pay. Say, well, can you fix the goddamn pump? So after all that, you didn't really need to do all those leaves and I didn't really ever fix the pump. I ended up just understanding it enough so that someone else could fix it, I'd pay them.
Always somebody else that can do it, right?
Yeah, it's always someone else. Just couldn't do it on the day. Mate, it is great to hear that you've navigated your overwhelm. I hope you're in a slightly better space. And if you're not, maybe you can just have a bit of a pause, because I'm in a way better space, and whether it be by, you know, my mastering of life or by complete chance, I've got no idea, but I'm just enjoying a good patch.
Well, until the next week, we'll see where we stand then, right?
Yeah. Anyway, I've got to go. I've got so much stuff to do.
Right. See you, mate.
See you, mate. Bye.
You've been listening to Risking Failure. To join the community and access more free content, news, and updates, subscribe at riskingfailure.com.